This is American Real, where we aim to inspire, empower, and enlighten you through the stories of our guests. Here's your host, Roger Brooks.
So, Julie, for people who have not posted, how can we help them get over that fear? Why is it important for them to do this?
Well, I think that everyone has a voice that someone needs to hear. What's a story of how you helped someone in your company? What's something that your company is doing to help the greater good, right? The community. I didn't know when I started out that I was going to have the impact I had. And getting over the fear, it's just doing it. I committed to videos because at the time that felt like the best medium for me. And I just consistently did them. And the more I did them, the more comfortable I got. You do the work, you put it out there, and you grow and you learn and you get better. My posts were performing well because my content was connecting with people.
This is American Real. I am Roger Brooks. My guest today is Julie Ruska. You are a certified high performance coach who helps people deal with the underlying issues that prevent them from becoming the best versions of themselves. You specialize in guiding people to create a life they love by developing high performance habits in the areas of career, relationship, health, and finances. You also train executive teams, helping them create high performance cultures that engage employees and energize organizations. Julie, welcome to the show.
Roger, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I know we've tried for months to try to get together. There's been a few obstacles in the way, but we made it today. And I'm actually glad, as you said before we got on, that it is today, because I got to know you a lot better through LinkedIn, through all of your posts, through all of the wonderful content that you're putting out to the world. So I agree with you that it was meant to happen today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe everything happens in its own perfect timing. And so here we are. And I look forward to our conversation.
No, me too. And I would love to start with an honor that you just received this week. You were honored as one of the top 50 most impactful people on LinkedIn. So congratulations. That is awesome. How does it make you feel?
It's already making me tear up. It is such a tremendous honor. In March of 2020, when the world started locking down, I realized I'm a single mother of three, and I realized that my coaching business could not survive because I did everything in person. All of my networking was in person at events in California, Chicago, New York. And so when I realized that, I thought, okay, you don't have time to think. You don't have time to come up with another game plan. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to live on LinkedIn. And at the time, I had under 500 connections and followers. They were like friends, you know, how you join a platform and you just send everyone you know a request. And so they weren't my ideal clients. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And all I committed to putting out content that would actually help people. Content that I started with a lot of videos that were under 3 minutes, and they were just something to consider today. And it really took off. And I've just been so humbled and grateful for the way that I was received on the platform and the impact that I've been able to have.
It's just incredible. And I mean, I have so many questions, but I want to start with, how did you figure this out? Did you just wake up one day and said, this is what I need to do? Did someone coach you on it? Like, how did you realize that that would be a good formula for success?
So I'm a trained certified high performance coach, and a lot of high performance coaches that I know utilize Facebook and Instagram. But I found with Instagram, it wasn't my demographic. And Facebook, I got a lot of inappropriate things, messages and things from men. So I knew that LinkedIn eventually would be my platform when I was ready to produce content. But I had my own limiting beliefs about it. I didn't want to be my own brand because I didn't want hate. I didn't want the negative energy. I'm very sensitive and I didn't want the critical energy that I'd been working to overcome. So I had to step beyond myself and beyond my fear because of necessity. It was really about my three kids and keeping the lights on and food on the table. And honestly, that's where I started. There was no grand plan to be an influencer. There was nothing in me that was like, I want the world to know who I am. I got on LinkedIn to get clients and I just wanted to have enough clients to pay my bills. That's where it started.
So take us through the journey. I mean, it hasn't been that long. We're talking, you know, March of 2020. Right. You know, we're going on almost 2 years. So it's not that long in the big scheme of things. How long did it take before you started to see some traction, both from a standpoint of engagement, you know, people following you, the rise in numbers? I believe you're, you know, where are you now? You're at,
I think I'm a little over 63,000.
63,000 people from 500 in less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Walk us through that a little bit, if you don't mind, and what that experience was like.
When I first started, I knew, again, I wanted to put out content that would actually help people. I don't have any experience in sales. So I didn't want to be one of those people who's constantly bombarding people with like, this is what I do, buy my program, buy my package. That's just not authentic to who I am. But I knew that what I do was important and that everyone could benefit from it. Because with what I do, I help people examine the areas of career, relationships, health, and finance to determine where they're functioning at their optimal levels and where they're not. So that's your whole life. And there's a lot of content. Right. And most of it can be applied to anyone. Even though I work with executives and C-suite executives as well, I can produce content that really helps all types of people. And that was something I think that really was the game changer, because I was speaking to you. When I created a video, I was speaking to my audience, but my audience can be everyone, because everyone can benefit from seeking clarity, generating energy, raising necessity, increasing productivity, right? Developing influence, demonstrating courage. All of these pillars of high performance are applicable to everyone in the world. And so I think a lot of that has to do with my success on LinkedIn, but also authenticity. After I started to get comfortable, I realized that there was a disconnect. I was putting out a lot of content that helped people, but they didn't know who I was. Hmm. And I think that was the game changer when I pulled back the curtain a little bit and started sharing about my challenges as a single mother, my challenges with my oldest son who's severely dyslexic. Some of the issues that I faced just in life, being in an abusive relationship, there are all of these things. And when I was courageous enough to share them, I think people were able to really connect with me.
Wow. And is that at that time, is that when you saw an increase or spike in the following as well? Did it kind of follow suit?
Yeah, I think there were two. The original one happened, I think, because we were all locked down and there were a lot of people online. And I was posting videos consistently at the beginning, every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. So if you were waking up and having your coffee, one of my clients said he called it not coffee with Bob, that is the Coffee with Bob show.
Right.
But this client was Bob. And he's like, every morning I have Java with Julie.
Oh, that's
it's like,
great.
I wake up and I watch your little video and it sets me straight for the day. And so people started incorporating my content into their daily habits. And that was the first one. And then the second kind of big jump for me was when I started sharing. I remember, I think one of the posts that performed the best at maybe 6 months in was about my son and his journey. He was born with bilateral club feet, and just every step of the way, he had challenges. And that really resonated with people because we're not perfect. And oftentimes on social media, people have this perception and they start to judge you because of it. And I got a lot of, oh, your life's so perfect. You're sharing your travels. You're sharing all this good stuff. How do you know what it's like to struggle? How do you know what it's like to have problems? Mm-hmm. And when I was able to share some of that, it was relatable. Wow.
And don't you think that when we do share, when we do pull back the curtain, as you said, that's kind of when the magic happens, so to speak, when, because I went through the same thing myself on LinkedIn. I was on LinkedIn for years and never posted. You know, when I did it, you know, it had nothing to do with me or, you know, some of my experiences. But once you do pull back that curtain, people start to become more interested in the person behind the photo.
Right. And that's what's interesting now, because I try to keep a balance because I do want my content to be beneficial. And but there's also that balance of here's what I do for work and here are things that can help you. And here's my life journey and here are the lessons I've learned. So I never try to just put a picture and be like, hey, which is what some people do. And I'm not judging them, but that's for me, when I share a personal story, I want to share the lessons I've learned and I want to share some takeaways that I think can benefit other people.
So give us an idea, because I'm sure a lot of people that are listening in our audience are on LinkedIn, but they may not be active. They may have never posted. Talk about the preparation for what you do, maybe how much time you spend, just to give people an idea of really what it takes, because nothing's easy, as we know, in this world. But to do what you did is, I don't know if I've talked to anyone who's had this level of trajectory, you know, from virtually nothing.
I was obscure less than 2 years ago. No, I mean, other than my few clients, no one knew who I was.
Sure. Right. And now you're a force on LinkedIn, one of the top 50 most, I mean, that's, it's brilliant, but it also shows your tenacity, why you did it, because of your kids. Right. So, you know, we get into this mode of, okay, whatever it takes, you know, to get it done. But I'd love for you to share some of the inside of what it's like to prepare. How much time does this take you?
At the beginning, I took so much time. I mean, my videos, again, I had to overcome my limiting beliefs of trying to be perfect. But during the initial days, I would spend hours in my office trying to perfect a video. And I didn't want to read notes because I wanted it to feel authentic. So I would write a post. I would try to memorize it. And then I, without notes, would be doing video and I would mess up like a word or I would say something that didn't feel right. And then because I'm so self-critical, something I'm working to overcome, I would scrap it and start over. And I would go through that. And then it would be like, wow, you nailed the words, but your hair was like over here. And then what I realized and what I do now is I had to get over all of that because it's not about me at all. My content is to help other people. It's to help inspire and empower them to be the best versions of themselves. It's irrelevant if my hair is messy. It's irrelevant if I stumble over a word or two. None of that matters. What matters is, am I helping people? And when I adjusted my mindset there, I started to create videos that were one takes. Two at the most. And it's just like, go put this out there because the world needs this and this will help someone. And that goes back to your other question of what I attribute my success on LinkedIn to is that kind of getting over myself. It's really not about me.
Wow. And it's not easy to do, right? But you almost have to go through what you did to get to where you are now, because if that didn't happen, then you wouldn't realize that this is the most important thing. Just having the conversation versus, you know, how is my hair today?
Well, right. I can't say that, and what people also need to understand is there are people in the world that are just content creators. That's what they do. But I'm a high performance coach. I have clients. I'm a single mom of three. Now, two of them since then, my daughter is at NYU now, first semester there. Awesome. And my son is at community college, my oldest son, and he moved out. But for a while, it's like, I have three kids, I have a career, and I'm putting content out. So content is a job. It's a job. You have to be consistent with it. And you have to give it its due time, because if you want to create quality content, it is. It's something that deserves your time and effort. And so I'm a big fan now of quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason I don't have Monday through Friday post because I've been busy with my actual job or my family, then I won't post. Because I don't want to put something out there just to put something out there.
Wow, that's great. So, Julie, for people who have not posted, if they're thinking about it, but they have these self-limiting beliefs that you just mentioned, you know, several times now, how can we help them get over that fear? Why is it important for them to do this?
Well, I think that everyone has a voice that someone needs to hear. And it's almost selfish to hold it in, because we've all overcome challenges. We all have careers, most of which can help people, right? And if your career isn't one, because this is what I hear a lot, well, you know, I'm a plant manager at a factory. How's that going to help people? Well, what lessons are you learning as a plant manager? What's the story of how you helped someone in your company? What's something that your company is doing to help the greater good, right? The community. So content is one of those things. And then, yeah, realizing that it's selfish to hide your light, because you don't know who needs it. I didn't know when I started out that I was going to have the impact I had. And it's really humbling and amazing. So that's one. And getting over the fear, it's just doing it. I mean, the videos, I committed to videos because at the time that felt like the best medium for me. And I just consistently did them. And the more I did them, the more comfortable I got, which I go back and I cringe watching myself because I have a mentor, and my mentor in the high performance world, I look up to him, but he was a little bit cheesy. And when I started making my videos, I was being him. I wasn't being me. So I'd start every video, and I actually have rebranded as well. So I used to be Awakened Life Coaching. Mm-hmm. I'd start every video. Hi, I'm Julie Ruska from Awakened Life Coaching. And I was like, no, again, why was I leading with who I was? It wasn't about me.
Wow.
And that was huge. Like, really, of everything I've learned, that was huge. It's not about you. So you do the work, you put it out there, and you grow and you learn and you get better. I had terrible sound, right? I had poor video quality. And yet my posts were performing well because my content was connecting with people. I didn't know about subtitles. So at the time I didn't use them. Then I found out, as you learn and grow, that like 70% or more of people don't have their sound on. So if you don't have subtitles, they're just scrolling right past you because you're going, right? Like, they have no idea what you're saying, and they're not going to take the time, especially if they're in a work setting where they're not supposed to be on LinkedIn and they're trying to privately scroll.
No, it's so true. And look, I'm really glad that you talked about what you just did, was that it's almost our duty, no matter what field we're in, to put content out to help people. And that's exactly what I talk about when I talk to people about writing their first book. They're like, well, no one wants to hear my voice, or, you know, no one wants to hear what I have to say. Well, it's not about you. Right. It's about the reader on the other side that needs to hear it. That's who you have to help. Don't worry, don't focus on yourself. So the more we reinforce this as leaders in whatever field we're in, that take the emphasis off the self, put it on the emphasis on those that are we are serving and helping,
Right.
The more people that are aware and conscious of this, I feel, and a lot of people are talking about this, which is great. Yeah. Because look, yes, we have to have the self-confidence and those types of things to be able to do what we do. You could learn those things over time by practicing, just as you said. But at the end of the day, to me, and I know because you just said it too, it's really who are we serving? That's what really matters.
Yeah. And it's interesting because this goes to a deeper issue that I know we plan to talk about anyway, which is overcoming limiting beliefs. A lot of us look in the mirror and say, who am I to do this? Like, that's so audacious. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a deep-seated limiting belief of I'm not enough. And that limiting belief is one we have to confront to be successful in any area of our life.
And Julie, from the coach in you, where do we start? So pretend I'm a client, right? And I'm C-suite client. I hire you. And that's one of my, downfalls is, I have all these self-limiting beliefs. Where do you start? How do you help people in this regard?
You have to start with clarity. It's all about discovering, and I call it excavating your limiting beliefs. So you have to look at what's holding you back. And I like to have people do it when you think about, there's a command statement, it's called. And with a command statement, when you're about to quit something, it's what you say to yourself. So for example, I actually did this in a workshop. If you sit on your toes, like you tuck your toes under and you sit there and you can't stop. And then you have to put your hands out. And so you're sitting in this very uncomfortable position and your whole job is to monitor your internal voice. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And the goal is to identify what you say to yourself right before you quit. That's your command statement. That's your limiting belief that stops you. A lot of people are like, I don't need this. I'm out of here. I can't do this. I can't handle it. All of those things, they start to come up. So it's a really good practice, whether you do that or you just are in observation of your thoughts and you're working on a challenging project or you're communicating with someone who triggers you. And it's like, notice. So it's that clarity and that self-awareness that starts. Then once you have that belief, once you've found it, it's about reframing it. So if your thought is, I can't, then the reframe for a more affirming belief is, I believe in my ability to figure it out. I'm not enough goes to, I am enough. And then you have to find evidence to support that. So what we do is we create these limiting beliefs. They usually come from our subconscious of something that happened to us way in the past. So with clients, when we uncover it, it's like, wow, you're letting your 8-year-old self run your life as a 48-year-old man. Hmm. And we laugh at it. And sometimes it's very sad too. And there are a lot of tears, but when you can kind of laugh at it and make it a joke, like, wow, that's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that one of my clients, for example, his track coach told him that he couldn't cut it. He wasn't going to make it on the team. He took that. He internalized it. He stopped exercising. He started eating. He got overweight. Then he didn't feel good about himself. Then he started drinking and doing all these things to fill that void. And when he realized now in his 50s that all of those things were because of that limiting belief, everything changed.
That's so incredible. So the folks that you help day to day, are they successful in some areas of their life, but their limiting beliefs are preventing them from getting to the next level? Like what are you finding?
Exactly. So what happens is I usually end up working with an executive when they've hit a wall or they feel they've plateaued. A lot of them have achieved major success in their life. They obviously have climbed to the top, if not near the top of their industry. And yet something's missing. a lot of times they have the house, the car, the family. Everything looks perfect from the outside, and yet they're sad, they're stressed, they're depressed, they're addicted. There are all sorts of ways that it shows up and manifests in their life. And so that wall that they hit is where I come in.
Okay. And again, this is great conversation because we all have experienced this to some extent ourselves, or know of people who are, going through this type of thing. But you can't really predict either. Like you said, it could look perfect from the outside. But if you could give us a little bit more depth of if I hire you, and I have, all this baggage that I'm trying to overcome, or self-limiting beliefs that I'm trying to overcome. I know you gave some examples earlier, but how long of a process does this take? Are we talking months, weeks, years? What is it?
It really is interesting. Not years, but because my whole goal as a high performance coach is to identify the issues, deal with the issues, overcome, and create a strategic plan to solve those issues, move beyond them, and take your life to the next level. So you had a lot of questions in there. A lot of times people don't know why they come to me. They come to me for an issue that's not their issue. During COVID, I had most of my clients, probably 85% of my new clients, coming to me for help working from home. They're like, hey, I heard you talk about productivity. I need help.
I could see where this is going.
I'm like, great. Amazing. Let's go. I can probably help you in 2 to 3 sessions. Productivity, man, here it is. Block time. Take your breaks, during your breaks, hydrate, right? Like, I can turn it into a 3-minute video and there you go. But there's something more. Why are you really not doing what you need to do? I believe that people are inherently brilliant and they make up excuses to not be their best selves because of a limiting belief, because of circumstances. It doesn't matter why at the beginning, but there's always something deeper. So if you're not being productive, what's really behind it? So I help them with the surface level, because can you imagine if you hire me and suddenly I'm like into, well, your relationship with your mother as a child, like you just can't do that. Right. But what is amazing is I start people with a 90-minute strategy session. Mm. And in that time, it's career, relationships, health, finance, and we dive deep. Wow. And I ask very probing questions to help them understand, here are all the things that are coming up. Mm-hmm. Here are the first 3 we're going to deal with, and then we'll go from there. So one of the first 3 is always what they came to me for. Is it productivity? Some people do hit a wall and they just come to me and they're like, I've hit a wall. I don't know what to do next. Other people, it's a wake-up call. My wife is leaving me. I have cancer. Some kind of tragedy that makes them wake up and realize that they're not living their life the way that they want to. And so there are so many reasons that people come, but what they realize is it's never about that surface issue. There's always something deeper. I never work with clients less than 3 months. I try to have clients whenever our schedules can. I know sometimes, again, excuses, but some people aren't ready to have weekly sessions, so we have bi-monthly sessions. But I like to start 12 consistent weeks because it gets you in there. It gets you deep, and that consistency builds the momentum. And that momentum is where you have the breakthroughs. And so high performance coaching is what it's called because that's the certification I have. But what it really is more breakthrough coaching. It's about breaking through the barriers that hold you back.
I love that. I love your approach. It's so relatable. And what's great about it is you cover every area of life. So like you said, if I come to you because of I've hit a wall, well, there might be these other 3 or 4 things that I'm not even thinking of, that's right. going to come out in the discovery session. So yes. that's really great how you have that set up. Now, the 12-week thing, I could totally relate to that because when I help people write their first book, it's a 12-week program. Mm-hmm. Why did I do that? I mean, it could have been 8 weeks or it could have been 16 weeks. Well, 12 weeks, you know, from a consistency standpoint, just like you're talking about, if you do something, if you practice something every day, a little bit, if you write 1 to 2 pages a day, every day, every week, you're going to have a chapter. And then, Absolutely. You know, so it's the same premise, but you could take that same formula and I think apply it to really anything in life, any new habit that you're trying to form.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting about it, going back to the discovery session, is the definition of success for people. We all have our own definition, but can you really say you're successful in business? I mean, these people come to me, they're doing well. Most of them are at the top of their game as far as their industry goes, but yet something's missing. And it's like, yeah, are you really successful if you're the top earner in your company, but your relationship is falling apart? Mm-hmm. Or if your career and relationships are going great, but you're 70 pounds overweight. So midday, you're exhausted and you don't have the energy to get through it because you don't have healthy habits. Mm-hmm. Or my favorite, and why finance comes in, because in certified high performance coaching, it's career, relationships, health, and emotion. But what I realized is I was helping people create this vision for their dream lives and they couldn't fund them. So finance came in, not because I'm a financial guru. I stay in my own lane. I refer out if they need financial help because I'm not trained for that. And so it's important that I stay in my lane. But I do have the conversations because if you have this grand vision for life, you have to be able to fund it.
Absolutely. And you have to be able to be willing to put in the work to get there, yeah. right? It's not just going to happen by magic.
Yes. So which is one of my favorite phrases. I always tell people anything is possible if you're willing to do the work, but that's the if right there. And a lot of people aren't willing to do the work. Totally. They really aren't. They say they want something, but when it comes to being consistent and committing to daily work toward their goals, They just aren't all in.
So Julie, can you give us an example? And obviously you don't have to give us any names, but talk about a successful client. Like give us an idea of where they were and then where you helped get them. Because these are the type, when people could relate to real life examples, I feel they could, you know, put themselves in that position to say, okay, if this person did it, then, you know, maybe I can too.
Yes. Two come to mind. So I'll start with one. One person I met on LinkedIn early on, he started engaging my post. I started engaging his, and we had a call. And in that call, he was kind of back in his chair in a hoodie and a hat. And I was asking him what he did. And I'm going to keep this as anonymous as possible. And which is important for my career, of course, but, I started talking to him about what he did and he was kind of just checked out. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, that was a nice get to know you call. And then I didn't think much of it. I went about, we engaged almost every day. Last December, he filled out my application to work with me. And I was completely floored. I was like, I don't know if this guy's gonna, you know, I have a certain type of client and my clients have to be motivated because I have a very high success rate and I'm proud of that and I'm going to keep that. So I won't take on clients that I don't believe are willing to do the work. And in our strategy session, it was amazing. He does financial advising and wealth management and he just wasn't really working his business. One of his first aha moments was he was treating his business as a hobby, not as an actual business. And when he got serious and he got strategic about it, everything changed. But one of his major goals wasn't just in business. It was to create equanimity in his life and to focus on raising his kids and being an amazing father and an amazing husband while achieving high levels of success in his career. Not an easy goal.
No,
Not an easy goal. At this point, I believe his assets under management have gone up about 60% in the year that we have worked together. When he wrote my recommendation on LinkedIn, I think it was like 49%. So I was saying like, wait, by the end of the year, I want you to give the real numbers. I'm not sure where he landed yet, but that was a major success story because right now he and his family are on vacation. He's taking time off.
Wonderful.
We achieved his goals 2 months ahead, his annual goals 2 months ahead. And he started with weekly those first 3 months. And then we went to bi-monthly and so proud of him. And then another one real quick, a man that came to me for productivity and I was like, okay, 4 weeks, we're good. Like at that point I needed clients. So if it was an easy fix, I was still going to take them on, fix them and send them on their way. And about two sessions in, we were good on productivity. We were good to go. He was done. And then we got to the deeper issues and realized there are things in his relationships. There were issues, major limiting beliefs. There were things going on in his company that needed to change. And it was like opening Pandora's box. I was like, whoa, we've got our work cut out for us, right? And we've also worked together for a year now. So both of these are clients that are longer than the typical. The typical client works with me 4 to 6 months and then goes about and we stay in touch and we have maybe monthly calls just to make sure they stay on track. But this man, wow, I'm so proud of him. He's a leader now in his company, an actual leader, not just someone with the title, but he's truly leading by example. He and his wife have gotten so much closer. Wow. They are rekindling a love that kind of went dormant. You know, you have children and your relationship kind of goes like this. And now they've come back together and it's absolutely amazing. And it's so humbling and such a privilege to be a facilitator and go on this journey with people. It's absolutely beautiful. It really is.
No, I could see it. I could feel it. And, you know, thank you for sharing those stories because as I said earlier, that's how we relate to our own lives. Like, okay, yeah, I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I want to be better at my work. And, you know, so thank you for doing that. And it's, you know, I'm sure they're not all successful, you know, or as successful, but I love the fact that you said you have such a high success rate because that means you are selective about who you work with, right?
Yeah. I used to joke when I was on that initial inquiry call with someone, I say I have 100% approval rating and I won't take you on if we're not going to keep that going. So my great. Expectations are crazy high of my clients. And I do not take on clients that are not willing to do the work. But going back to what you were saying about the success they have, like being a better father and improving your career and having better relationships with your spouse or your significant other, that's what high performance is really all about. It's achieving success at your optimal levels in career, relationships, health, and finance. It's not one. It's not like you hire a business coach and he helps you with business. What I do is holistic coaching. And it really is looking at your life and saying, here's where I am. Here's where I want to go. Let's create a plan to get there.
Wow. I can relate. I could absolutely relate because it's not easy to stay at that level in every area of your life. It's really not, but it can be done. It can be done.
It can be done.
If you're strategic about it.
You have to be intentional about it.
Yes.
You have to be intentional each and every day. It's clarity, it's courage, and it's consistency. You have to show up clear about your purpose. Yeah. In relationships, here's what I'm working toward. In my career, this is what I'm working toward. here are my financial goals. Here are my health and wellness goals, which get pushed to the side the most. I found, especially during the pandemic, we're all sitting at home like, oh yeah, exactly. And the truth is, if your health and wellness aren't taken care of, that's kind of foundational. You have to have the energy to work hard so you can improve your relationships, so you can improve your productivity at work, so you can be more efficient and effective. And so you can make that money to put away for your goals so you can have those vacations, you can have that dream house, you can maybe start a nonprofit and help other people. There are so many things, and that goes to a whole nother issue. We could talk forever, but about money, it's not about money. It's about freedom. And money is a tool. It's a vehicle to be able to live the life that you want to live.
Totally. And I believe that, you know, money is an energy, just as everything else in our life is an energy. And if you, utilize that energy in the right way and respect it, and be smart with it. And of course, it's nice to have fun. It's nice to get, you know, buy nice things, but you don't want to be, you know, foolish either with it, and really respect it. The big changes can happen in your life. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I think it's worth talking a little bit further about this. We didn't have this on our agenda today, but I'm curious as to what you think. One of the things that I started doing maybe, 10, 12 years ago, was really manifesting my outcomes, you know, thinking about them, you know, planning them. You know, people talk about vision boards and things like that. That's all good. You know, writing things down that you want to achieve and actually visualizing it and seeing it. And from a monetary standpoint, these are the goals that I want to achieve for myself. This is where I want to be, and actually manifest that, whether it's sales goals at work, or, you know, if I do this, I could, just like you did at COVID, I have to, you know, provide for my family.
Yes.
So talk about manifestation, if that's something that you have experience with and that interests you.
Yeah. So my training is really fascinating in the fact that I came to it in a few different ways. I have a degree, a master's degree in curriculum and instruction, so I can customize people's plans, right? But then beyond that, I have over 2,500 hours in yoga and meditation.
Wow, I did not know that.
So that comes a lot, that brings a lot of thought process to me, and I add that with the high performance. So manifesting, vision, a lot of that is Eastern philosophy, right? But I bring a Western tilt to it, because the truth is, if you can't see it, you can't make it happen. It's like Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to see your vision clearly. You have to be able to say, here's what I want 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. In 2025, where do you want to be? Who do you want to be with? So I like to look at that vision as the most important thing. It has to start with clarity. And sometimes people don't know, right? They don't know. But we all know what we don't like, right? We all know what we don't want. So that's one direction that I help people with. We always, clarity is the very first place I start. You have to be clear on who you are, who you want to be, how you want to relate to others, and what you want to create in the world. And from that, we create this vision of the ideal life, and then we create strategies and a plan to get there. So manifesting, your question, yes, you must manifest. I don't care if you have a vision board. I don't care if you write a 20-page strategic plan and you review it twice a month. It doesn't matter what kind of manifesting or envisioning, as I call it, you do, but you have to have it. Otherwise, where are you going? Our society is like a group of hamsters on a wheel, and they wake up and they go through the motions of life, rinse and repeat, 9 to 5, 9 to 5. And COVID blew that up. Suddenly people are working from home. Suddenly they don't have typical hours. And everyone had to look in the mirror and go, oh my gosh, yeah. Right? That's why we're seeing the great resignation.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, this is not how I want to live my life, right. Which is beautiful. I would like to call it the great awakening.
Yes.
People are realizing that they're wasting their lives or they're not living purposefully. And that leads to regret. And so what I hope to do, my three pillars of my company are awaken, empower, inspire. Awaken people to the present moment, which I think a lot of people are having during the pandemic, this aha moment of like, wow, this is what's really happening right now. Yeah. And then I want to empower people to help them see that they're capable of achieving anything they want. And from there, their lives become the examples that inspire others. It has a ripple effect. It's not my job to awaken them, empower them, and inspire them, although I will, right? But I want them to have this movement where they wake up, they become empowered, and then they become inspirational. I love the fact that some of my clients are taking off on LinkedIn now because they're telling their story.
It's great.
And it's amazing to see because that's what it's all about. It's about all of us. And it's something that you do here, right? You allow people to tell their story. And we don't know what our story can mean to other people and how we can help until we share it.
Brilliant. Wow. Thank you for that. So let's talk about becoming your best self. Sometimes sometimes cliche, right? Okay,
yes.
I need to become the best version of myself, right?
Yes, I know.
I actually wrote a book, Build the Best You, but yes. You know, it's all kind of intertwined. When you're talking to your clients or when you're sharing value on LinkedIn, when you're helping people to become the best version of themselves, what are some of the tactics or ideas or mindsets that they should start to think about in doing this? Because it's a big thing, you know, becoming your best self is a big thing, but to me, it's not like a thing. It's the essence of who you are. It's every moment. It's every interaction. It's every thought. It's every, awareness of the connection, the listening, all these things, these buzzwords that are important, but it's all of it together.
It is. It really goes to integrity about living your life aligned and congruent with the best within you and making sure that your words and your actions actually match up. Mm. And so when I hear you talking, that's what I think of. I'm like the essence of who you are and how do you do that, right? What happens when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you're like, my wife just left me. Who am I? Why did that happen? Or I just got fired from my job, a job I've been in 25 years, what happened? And it's having the courage to look in the mirror and be brutally honest with yourself. Here's who I am today. And then from there, closing your eyes and allowing yourself to feel, where do you want to go? Who do you actually want to be? And that's where the magic is. So it starts with clarity. But it also kind of coexists with courage. Mm. You have to be willing to ask yourself the hard questions. And you have to take personal responsibility, which I think our country is terrible at as a whole. We are a blame society. Yeah. We blame everyone. It's everyone's fault. You know, it's the politician's fault. It just goes on and on.
Look in the mirror. Look right here. Yes.
In the end, you can only control yourself, your attitude, your effort, your actions. Mm-hmm. And when people take that responsibility, they can create the change. But it does involve clarity. It does involve courage and then commitment to the path. You don't become your best self on accident. You don't show up one day and you're like, oh, today I'm going to be my best self. Or like a box doesn't get delivered at your door from Amazon. It's like, oh, look, here's my little lion bookend. Oh, now I'm my best self. This is great. Wonderful. Like that doesn't happen. It's about being intentional. And again, it goes back to clarity. You have to have the vision for your life and then who you are in that life. Because we can all envision that tropical paradise where we want to be on the beach, sipping our favorite drink. Like I have my little coconut water right here. Love it. But who you are as a person is what matters, because that person goes to the beach, that person goes to work, that person goes to the grocery store. And you need to live aligned and congruent with the best within you every single day. You need to wake up and say, this is the person that I want to be, and I'm going to go about my day, and all of my words are going to show up from that best self.
Wow.
All of my actions are going to show up from my best self.
Yes, 100%. And you're making me think about something else in this, and that is, don't you feel that the easy way out is not becoming your best self? Isn't that the easy way out, just to exist?
Right.
And I'm not going to care about becoming my best self, because it's easy to pass blame. It's easy to have judgment. It's easy to, you know, not take accountability. The hard work becomes in the intention of becoming your best self, because you have to, you can't let your guard down, right? I mean, once you start on this path, it only gets stronger and the resistance gets stronger too. So you have to become better. At least that's how I find it.
Absolutely. It breaks my heart to see people that will wake up. They'll have that, what I call awakening moment. They'll realize they need to change, but they aren't willing to put in the work. They're like, oh, I need to stop drinking. I'm drinking too much. Oh, but it's hard. You know, I've had a stressful day. I'm like, yeah, but that's just a habit. That's a habit. Your habit is you have a stressful day and you drink. But what if your habit was you have a stressful day and you exercise? New habit, create it. It's a choice.
Yeah.
You can sit there and lay on your couch every day and gain a lot of weight and drink a bunch of beers and wake up the next day, go to work, get stressed, and perpetuate that habit. And that's your legacy. And at the end of your life, that's how you'll be remembered. But I invite people to consider that there's so much more available to each and every one of us. We are all capable of inspiring someone. It might not be on social media. It might be in your family. It might be in your church or your community. It could be your neighbor. But each and every person can inspire some other person to be better through their words and through their actions. And my God, if people would just realize that, like, you weren't created just for you. And again, it goes back to being selfish. Are you really going to sit there on the couch and say, well, I didn't vote for this president, so I'm just going to drink my beer? I don't care if you voted for the president or didn't vote for the president. He's the president. It's a fact. There's nothing you can do about it. Move on. What can you do? What actions can you take to make your life better, to make your family's life better, to make your community better? That's what I care about. So yeah, I think if there's a pandemic beyond coronavirus, the pandemic is the pandemic of blame, of not taking responsibility for our actions and blaming circumstances, blaming our parents. Yes, you might've had terrible parents. Lots of people do. What's the difference between the person who sits there and blames their parents till they die versus the person that said, yeah, you know what? My family situation wasn't ideal and I'm going to learn and I'm going to do better for my family, but I'm going to overcome that now because I'm going to break that cycle. That's a choice. Again, personal responsibility. This is like my soapbox. I could sit here and like hammer away, because truly, if there was ever a person that should have quit, it would have been me. I have been through abusive relationships. I have gone through financial insanity, like severe high levels of debt that I've had to overcome. There are so many things that I have been faced with, and I could have quit. I could quit, and I could let the government help me out, and I could, woe is me, my whole life.
And again, but, I think I'm glad we're talking about it, because that's the easy way out, right?
Yeah.
It's to be on top, to create, as you say, a life you love is hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard
work. But it's so worth it.
And it's
not
totally
as hard as people think it is. And that's something that I wish people would see too. It's not as hard as it looks, because you develop habits. Mm-hmm. And once you excavate those limiting beliefs and start adopting more affirming beliefs, you create this momentum.
Yes.
And then you just become it.
Yes.
Like I used to have to tell myself each morning, this is who I am. This is how I want to show up in the world. Like I had to go through the process too. Now I don't, because it's just who I am.
Right.
I don't have to think about it because I've become it. So it's not like the rest of your life, you're going to have to wake up and, oh my gosh, am I clear on who I am today and what my purpose is? Now I'm going to show up in the world and then like beat yourself up at the end of the day. Cause it's like, wow, I got mad at my wife. Now I'm a bad person. Forget it. I'm going to quit. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, it's okay. Yeah. You can be on this path. It's not as hard as it looks, but what it does take is clarity, courage, and commitment. Mm. And that commitment is where the change happens. When you wake up each and every day and you say, this is not okay. The way I was living my life is not okay anymore. I'm going to change it. I'm going to become better, because I was put on this earth to help people. I was put on this earth to be a better person for my family, my friends, my community, my colleagues. When you like stop being a victim and start being empowered, anything really is possible.
Love it. Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff. And I'm so glad we talked about that today. Now, Julie, a couple more questions before I let you go, but if people want to connect with you, if they want to have one of these discovery calls with you or connect with you to take in some of your valuable content, what's the best way for them?
If people are interested in becoming my clients, there's an application process. As much as I would love to talk to every single person that wants to have a little chat, I tried that once and I don't have the bandwidth to do that. So there's an application process. It's on my website. My website is powerfulleaders.com. That's my company. And it's under Start Today. And it's a pretty extensive application, because I need to make sure that people legitimately want to create change in their life. So it'll take about 20 minutes to complete. From there, I review those applications and I set up strategy sessions with the people that I believe I'm uniquely qualified to help.
Okay.
And we go from there. Beyond that, how to connect with me, LinkedIn is the best place. I'm there. I really believe that 99.9% of the world will never be my clients. They won't be, but my content can help every single person. It can help them in some way. And one day it might really hit you, and it might be that aha that you need to create the change in your life. So that's Julie Ruska. Last name is H-R-U-S-K-A. Little strange. The H is silence. And then if you do have a question or anything, people often DM me on LinkedIn. Please don't do that. I get so many hundreds of messages a day and they just get buried. So I have an email. It's julie@powerfulleaders.com. Send me an email if you have any questions. That's the best way.
Awesome. Awesome. Julie, if you were to take out your cell phone right now and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Oh, mm-hmm. Own who you are without apology. I believe Anna Wintour from Vogue was the first person that said that, although it gets attributed to lots of people. I wish that I would have believed in myself. I was a person that was raised to become a wife and a mother. It was just the beliefs and the values of my family that a woman's job was to grow up, get married, have children, stay at home. And I felt like I was created to do something different. There's nothing wrong with that lifestyle or that choice, but I felt I was created to do something different. And I allowed other people in my life to make me feel, again, I allowed it. I allowed other people to make me feel like I wasn't capable. And I think I lost some years there. So if I could go back to my 20-year-old self, I would say, hey, you know, trust that calling, trust that purpose within your heart that you know you were created to do something, and own it. And own it in all of you. I have had the haters, right, that tell me, oh, you can't do this, or you shouldn't look like that. You should change your appearance. You should change the tone of voice. Like, this is who I am. And I'm so grateful that I'm finding my tribe, but it took me a while. So hang in there, but like, be you, whoever you are, because you will find the people that love you and appreciate you and celebrate you. And we all deserve that.
Oh, I believe that as well. Wow. Julie, thank you so much. You are a bright light. I'm so glad we connected. I know it's not going to end here, but I do have one last question before I let you go. I try to ask every guest, and that is, you have a lot of life to live, but at the end of the day, what do you want your legacy to be?
I really want my legacy to be that people's lives were better for having known me. My children, my clients, and people that maybe just follow me on social media or in life, however it is, I really want them to say something about our connection, help them become a better version of themselves, and that they truly are better for having known me.
Just wonderful. Julie Ruska, welcome to the American Real family. Thank you again for being on the show. And I can't wait to continue to watch you grow and help so many people. So thank you.
Thank you, Roger. This was such a treat. I did not expect, I was a little emotional on this episode. I did not expect to feel so much, but I am very passionate about all of this. And thank you for the opportunity to share some of my story and to be here. It really is an honor. So thank you, Roger. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into American Real. Be sure to visit our website, AmericanReal.tv, or search for us on iTunes or YouTube for past episodes. While you're there, please rate us or leave us a review, as that helps others find our show. I am truly grateful and appreciate all of your support. If you'd like to be part of our inner circle or want one-on-one coaching, check out the American Real Learning Academy, where we have self-help groups and courses so you can build the best you. We also have a new Facebook group where you can connect with high achievers from around the world. If you want to go even further, maybe you're determined to write your own book or launch your own podcast, contact me today to see if we could help. You can reach me through Instagram or Facebook, or email me directly at roger@americanreal.tv. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.